At a hearing of the House Committee on Oversight and Reform, election officials from Arizona and Vermont were given time to explain the difficulties and dangers in running U.S. elections in a climate of misinformation. Tina Barton, a senior elections expert with Elections Group, testified about her experience. At the time of the 2020 election, she had been a public servant working both local and federal elections in Arizona for 16 years. During the 2020 election, her team made a clerical error misattributing 2,000 ballots as votes for the Democrats. Her team quickly corrected the error, but that did not stop local Republicans from presenting the error as fraudulent in a press conference.
4 days after that press conference, I received my first death threat. It was laced with obscenities, threats to my life and my family members' lives, and used sexually charged language. Pardon me. While the details of my story are unique, over 1,000 incidents of hostile and harassing contact have been reported to the DOJ. Mis and dis and malinformation is dangerous, and it's fueling these threats. We need your help. We need your help with protection. We need your help with increased awareness of the threats and intimidation. We need grant funding that is specifically designated to assist officials. If elections are truly critical infrastructure, we must protect them and those that administer them.
Barton herself is a Republican. She says that the issue of election misinformation is a nonpartisan one and should be a concern for both Democrats and Republicans alike. The consequence of election misinformation, particularly the perpetuation of the big lie that Joe Biden stole the 2020 presidential election, has meant that stories like Barton's are all too common for election officials. Currently across the country, there is a mass exodus of election officials leaving positions due to feelings of distress in the workplace. According to a survey from the NYU Law Brennan Center for Justice, 1 in 6 election officials had personally received threats of violence, and 1 in 3 knew someone who had left a job due to intimidation. Misinformation campaigns have also spurred an increase in laws that contribute to voter suppression under the guise of protecting elections. At least 18 states have passed laws restricting the right to vote in some way. They include imposing stricter ID requirements, eliminating same-day voter registration, increasing the difficulty of voting by mail, and shrinking the existing number of drop boxes for voters. Social media has also been a large contributor to perpetuating misinformation. Nora Benavides, senior counsel and director for the Digital Justice and Civil Rights Free Press, says that social media apps like Facebook and Twitter disproportionately target communities of color to spread misinformation, contributing to voter suppression.
In Arizona, we know that Latinos and Native American communities faced a cascade of untrue digital messaging over Twitter about the voting process in 2020. In Wisconsin, we also know that communities of color from Madison to Milwaukee were targeted with lies about mail-in ballot fraud and ballot dumping. These examples go on and on. They touch on, of course, the electoral process, as well as narratives related to COVID, the census, and otherwise, ultimately pointing to the need that for some action to be taken to rein in these abusive practices by social media companies.
Benavides says that social media platforms often use algorithms that promote incendiary content, even if it's factually incorrect, because it will increase their engagement. She says that the government needs to legislate these practices in order to protect voters. I'm Ellie Prickett Morgan, reporting for KPFA.